This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Time with a 2-2 count here.
High drive to center, but he got under it. Lawrence Butler moves towards the track in left center to put it away for the final out of the inning. A walk, one man left on base. Astros lose the first game of this four-game series by the final score of 5-2. Mason Miller comes on for a four-out save to lock it down for Luis Severino, who gets the win tonight.
My biggest takeaway from today was very competitive on both sides of the ball. You saw, see offense making some plays there in the passing game and, bust a run open there, and defense, right, really competing, making plays as well. I think the highlight of the day for me was Petrie, all right, being in a really good spot to intercept the football. He's been a guy who's been very consistent for us, no matter where we put him, what we've asked him to do. He's just, my type of player. He's all over the field, always up for the challenge. Whatever the down is, like, he's going to be around the football making plays, and it was evident today.
Hi, there you go. Todd Callis on the call in that first cut. Astros lose last night 5-2 to the A's to open up a four-game set with them. And, of course, that was D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Texans, that we heard in that second cut there, talking about takeaways from day two, a day that the defense won fairly convincingly out at Texans training camp. As we emerge live from Texans training camp, day three today, I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm awake because I was trying to figure out why D'Amico, after we played the Astros low light, I was trying to figure out why D'Amico was commenting on the Astros game late at night.
I thought the same thing. I didn't think that. When I put those sequentially in the rundown to bump into the show, it didn't dawn on me that D'Amico might sound like he's describing the Astros game.
I thought we should have D'Amico do the sports minute for you.
I know.
Just once. That would be fun. Hey, D'Amico, would you mind at 11 p.m.? Quit breaking down film or whatever you football coaches do break that film down. So it was a rough day for Houston sports. The Texans offense did not fare well versus the Texans defense. And the Houston Astros and their beleaguered band of AAA dudes were not able to win either. Two losses on the Houston front.
0-2 yesterday, that's right. Yeah, because I think most people, when they come to training camp, as excited as we are about the defense, I know most of the time, like when I see CJ or anybody drop back to pass, I'm rooting for them to complete the pass.
This is the only time you get excited generally as a fan watching, like if you watch a training camp practice. Saturday, I think, is an open practice. That you love incredible interceptions, but only if it's to the backup quarterback and preferably either the third string quarterback or just some, like a Joe Flacco type or something. We're like, he is what he is.
Yep.
You go up to Pittsburgh. Sean, I was off social media for most of yesterday. Then I click on it immediately. The world is aghast and amazed, or just that Aaron Rodgers threw an interception in training camp.
First play.
this doom. Yeah. Oh, I can't believe he threw an interception in training camp. That's it for Aaron Rodgers. Listen, I'm not optimistic about Aaron Rodgers this year. I don't think he's probably going to be anything close to the version of the Aaron Rodgers he used to be, but it's a training camp interception.
It is, yeah, dude. Social media amps up everything at training camp. All right, so yesterday at training camp, yeah, you heard D'Amico talking about. He was largely talking about Petrie, but it was a pretty good day for the defense overall. I would say just takeaways from day two. Defense won the day. Petrie had the interception on a play where CJ got pressured. There was a lot of that going on yesterday. And he sailed one. He sailed it over the receiver's head, and it was a lot like the interceptions Petrie would get in his remember his rookie year. He had five interceptions, and they all felt like right place, right time. And that's what Petrie does. Now he plays up close to the line of scrimmage, but yesterday he was kind of playing some center field on that play. Got a pick. Jalen Smith, the rookie out of USC, had a nice pass breakup in 11-on-11 drills. Tough sledding running the ball, and I would say the biggest thing, Seth, is that if you had any concerns that Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter, and Will Anderson in particular, were not going to terrorize quarterbacks this year, I'm here to calm you down. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr. is going to end careers in training camp, I fear.
As it is with training camp, there's two sides to every blade because it's the Texans offense that he's doing this against. And I would be the first to usually say, hey, don't read too much into non-padded practices when it comes to pluses or minuses with the offensive line and defensive line. I am a little bit concerned that the offensive tackles and the defensive ends in their battles in pass protection, that's like there's a certain tempo where you can go and it's a real competition in no pads. Not on the interior as much, but on the outside. The offensive line and the defense, anybody that, you know, coaches high school football or works with high school kids knows this. You can get some really good work done.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit concerned that the offensive tackles have been getting so thoroughly destroyed by Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. But I am also, I'm pleased because when you're going in no pads, you take some of the power element out of it. You know, Will's not going to have that many bull rushes or anything.
Yeah.
But that's the part of the game he's been working on is the non-bull rush type of stuff. So it's a really good sign that he's continuing to develop there. You just kind of wish that, okay, maybe these guys could put up a little bit more of a fight on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah.
Win a rep. How's that sound? Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday after practice talking about Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter.
With Danielle and Will, they just have to continue to be themselves, right, really improve on the small things, and that's really finishing at the top of the rush for a lot of times we've been in the backfield. Can we, when I talk about finishing, I'm talking about finishing on the football, like how many fumbles can we force as opposed to just sacks. We want to take the football away to put our offense in a good spot. So can we improve in that manner with the rushing, not just Will, Danielle, but it's all of our rushers.
And that's a big emphasis, and we'll play some audio from D'Amico later about the when he talks about the top of the rush. That's just when you're within a few steps of the quarterback and getting the ball out. Will Anderson has talked about that in multiple interviews this year about how there's such an emphasis on getting the ball out, because that's really one of the biggest things you can do to flip the tables in a football game. You get a strip sack, and I mean, we saw sometimes it's Derek Barnett picking it up and going for a touchdown, but at the very least, a lot of times you end up with a short field. At the very least, you kill the series. It's, like, okay, the offense recovers it, but then it's going to be 3rd and 20. If the defense recovers it, then you flip the field, and it's just huge in a football
game. It's the biggest game-changing play that you can have. Yeah. You know, short of a punt return that goes 85 yards for an actual touchdown, in terms of just plays from the line of scrimmage, non-touchdown plays, that's the biggest play you can have is a strip sack.
It's better than most interceptions, too. Mm-hmm. You know, most interceptions don't make it back to the line of scrimmage. It gets you 10 or 15 yards past the line of scrimmage if you can pick it up. So that's it's nice because you think about some of the great pass rushers of the past. There are guys that have specifically gotten their sack total up because of the strip sack. Like, plays where they might not have been able to get the quarterback on the ground, but they've got the hand-eye coordination to get their hand in and get the ball out. It's a learnable and teachable trait. So it's really, I get excited just hearing guys talk about it, because this is a defense that's shown that they can already produce, but they're just kind of putting a cherry on top of all that.
Yeah, smoothing off the rough edges. I like that. Here's one more from D'Amico Ryans on Will Anderson Jr.
Will is definitely, I think, mature for his age. He's always felt very mature for his age. Even our first time interviewing him on his 30 visit, like for him, he sat down in a room and he really commanded the room, had all great answers. So to see a guy like that is still in his mind, looking to grow, looking to become a better, not only player, but a better man off the field, you know, it doesn't surprise me, because that's who Will is.
Well, Seth, just a funny thing yesterday, like Will, so our radio tent here is right, this year it's right next to the runway where the players walk out onto the practice field. And so I'm hanging out after the show yesterday, just, you know, BSing with a few people, and the players are starting to come out. And Will Anderson Jr., outside of a football field, is one of the most delightful human beings ever. We've had him on the postgame show probably three or four times since he came into the league. And after a win or after a loss, he's just bubbly and happy and friendly. And so, you know, and I don't spend a lot of time around Will, but I think he would recognize me from the postgame show. And he came walking in yesterday, and there are two Will Andersons, because there's the one off the football field, and the look on his face just walking onto the practice field. He looked like he was ready to murder somebody, and he's just carrying his helmet out to the practice field. And I go, and he kind of looks over at me. I'm like, hey, what's up, Will? And he just glares at me and keeps walking. And I'm like,
He was about to go kill somebody. Yeah, that's nice.
Dude,
that's good.
Johnny and Mark were interviewing Nick Caserio at that very time, right across the runway from me. And I listened to that interview this morning, and it was enough of a look on Will's face where Johnny made a comment on air during the interview, like, wow, Will looks serious today.
I always think of, with guys like Will Anderson, do you remember from Full Metal Jacket? You saw Full Metal Jacket,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, long time.
Matthew Modine has, well, he has like the one thing on his, he has one thing written on his helmet that says kill, 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 but then he also has a peace symbol in the general.
That's him.
The commanding officer is like, son, what's going on with you? And he says, it's the Jungian things, the duality of man, sir. That's Will. It's the duality of man. He's in touch with the shadow world, but then also his bubbly and effervescent self. When D'Amico was talking about Will being mature, I chuckled, because he's kind of mature in a way that sometimes you meet a 55-year-old who has a boyish curiosity and enthusiasm and almost seems, like, immature in a good way for his age. So yeah. Will is mature in that he almost seems childish, but childish in the manner of a 55-year-old man.
He's mature in that I would trust him with anything. I would trust him babysitting my kids. I would trust him driving my car. I would trust him with any decision. I would also trust that he would attack it with the energy and effervescence of, like, a 9-year-old.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that, man, you hear so many Hall of Famers talk about kind of the keys to what fueled their success or anything like that. And so often curiosity comes up, like staying curious. And that no matter how good you are, if you're just always kind of wanting to learn more, it's a hard trait to define and pin down, but I feel like Will and CJ both have it.
No doubt.
And that's one of the things that makes me most optimistic about their future. I don't ever envision a spot where either of those guys would really become complacent, because they're kind of wired to just want to know more, want to always be tweaking things. And that's again goes back to what I like about Caserio and D'Amico as a team. I think they've figured out a way to identify those guys, and as much as possible try to get those types of guys on your team. And then, you know, going back to trading up for Will Anderson, it's those traits that just made him different and above and beyond his physical traits.
Totally agree. All right, we're here day three, Texans training camp. They will be out here on the grass again today and tomorrow, off Sunday, and then the first padded practice will be on Monday. Nick Caserio revealed that yesterday with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. So that's what we got going on the plate football-wise. Baseball-wise, let's circle back to the Astros. Last night looked like what I think a lot of us thought a team with 17 guys on the IL would look like. And Tytus Howard met with the media yesterday. I am in favor of the new post-Laramie Tytus Howard, and you're going to hear a lot of reasons why coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card, buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's touch on the Astros real quick. Not a lot to talk about with last night. They lose 5-2 to the Athletics. Look, I'm looking at the box score right now. Partially, Seth, I'm looking at the box score because I fell asleep in the fifth inning of this game, and then Amy woke me up in the ninth inning of this game, and the Astros scored their two runs in the seventh. So I open up the box score. I'm like, well, I at least need to see how they scored their two runs. And when you look at a box score and both runs were driven in by somebody who didn't get a hit last night, like, oh, okay, well, they just drove these runs in by, they happen to have some guys on base and they grounded out, or it was a sac fly or something like that. This is what more of the games we thought might look like when they're missing half of their everyday lineup and you're bringing up Jason Alexander to start a game from Sugar Land. That's what it's supposed to look like.
If you did strictly box score analysis, you'd say, well, I mean, if you had a lineup full of Taylor Trammell's, then you might have won this game. You know, he's a guy. He had three of the six hits in this game came from Trammell, and one of the hits came from Bryce Matthews, who was one for three. So you got a rookie and you got Taylor Trammell that were producing for you, but largely beyond that, there was nothing. I am in that mode right now. The Astros built their lead in the division up to where it is. Yes, the Mariners won last night. Did they not?
Yeah, it's five-game lead. Yep.
But you gotta playing down to the competition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't exist right this moment.
No.
You gotta be a 500 baseball team until you get some combination of guys returning from the IL and perhaps a trade at the deadline. But it is what it is, Sean. I'll go into coach speak mode.
Hey, real quick, before we get to Tytus Howard, if you could pick one guy to make healthy right now and bring back right now that's injured, I think it's It's really there's three names that would fit that are on the IL right now. You could pick one to bring back this very minute to start tonight against the A's. Peña, to me, Peña, Yordan, and Paredes are the three names that pop amongst.
Yeah,
others.
That's I guess boy, but I mean the I, yeah I don't want to get I it's just never I'm never comfortable getting too confident or cocky about, hey, look, you know, actually Brandon Walter is going to be a Cy Young candidate pretty soon.
Okay. So yours, you know, might be Javier. You might have Javier or Eric Geddy in that conversation.
Yeah. But I also, you got to remember too that I build Eric Geddy up in my mind to a point that it isn't realistic either. That we still really don't know what Eric Geddy's going to be as a full-time year after year pitcher, and then Javier likewise. So the three guys you mentioned, the actual position players, that and with Yordan, it really is also that, yeah, I'd love to have him back, which means that his hand is 100% completely healed, and you're not going to see that version of him that we saw when he was quote-unquote healthy, or at least playing earlier this year.
I don't think he can make that assumption either, even once he comes back with this thing. He's even said, Seth, that he might not be 100% when he comes back. It sounds crazy to say this, and if this question had been posed back in April, like, hey, in July, these guys are going to be on the IL, which one would you, if you could pick one to come back right now, who would it be? Before the season, it would have been Yordan, no question, because we didn't know this version of Peña existed.
Yeah.
I think right now it's Peña, because I think the injury that he has is going to be one that we're magically healing the injury as well. I don't think that's an injury that's going to hinder him, or we got to worry about a rib for the rest of the year. Whereas with Yordan, I think this hand thing could be something that lingers for the rest of this contract that he's on. Who the hell knows? This has been going on multiple years now with him.
Yeah, and with Peña, I think it's fair to say, hey, because of every reason you just mentioned, that it's a rib, it's not anything that's connective tissue or anything like that. We I don't know. It's also the Astros. It could turn out that he had a spleen removed. I don't know how that affects baseball players. So, but and as long as there's no the permanent internal organ damage or removal, I feel like he might actually come back. I don't want to say better, because he was one of the best players in the league. Yeah. But some of the things that he worked on in the offseason that very clearly paid dividends during the year, he can kind of just mentally and in the batting cage physically refine those things, the improvements that really mattered in the offseason. Yeah. So, yeah, you take it. The guy, he was a top three player in the league in terms of wins above replacement when he left. Yeah. So that that right now is 100% the guy that you need back the most.
And that's the guy I think you're going to get back. And he's been the catalyst when he's been there in that leadoff spot. I'd go Peña, Yordan, Paredes would be my power ranking there. All right, let's get to Titus Howard. You and I texted yesterday. I thought the same thing watching Titus's press conference yesterday. And that's what I was looking for, is like, okay, does this feel like a different Titus Howard? Does this feel like a Titus Howard who's not the guy attached at Laremy Tunsil's hip anymore, getting chippy on social media and getting chippy with people thinking that this offensive line actually isn't that good?
And then at times feeling like you're more concerned with fashion week than football. That can a guy kind of emerge as a leader now that he doesn't have guys above him that are the actual head honchos, and
yes,
can he become a different version of himself? And like, so far this entire offseason, it's felt like that's what's happened.
Yeah. Here was Titus Howard yesterday. He met with the media yesterday. This was a good press conference. We've got the highlights for you here. What's changed culturally from last year in the offensive line room?
I think attitude. Everybody, you know, is a competitive group, so you know, everybody go out there and earn the right to play for the Texans. So everybody out on the group has a positive attitude. They're showing up to work every day and just putting in the work and keeping the head down so we can become the best group it is.
It's so funny because there seemed to be some kind of campaign to defend the culture of the offensive line room last year. Yeah. You'd see all these people saying like, oh, these reports of toxicity are out of line. Oh, I don't understand it. And then meanwhile, every time D'Amico gets up to the podium and is asked about the offensive line, he talks about how much better the attitude is and that there needed to be a culture change. And then even Titus Howard will get up and say, yeah, the attitude's a lot better this year.
Just,
there was toxic is such a loaded phrase that I think some people say, no, it wasn't toxic. Nobody was having an affair with anybody's wife or anything. I don't know what you're talking about. There were no blow-ups. But then there's there's dysfunction, or there's being a non-ideal situation, and that's what it felt like. That offensive line for a few years now has been, for lack of a better word, they've played soft, and there wasn't an element of physicality to the game. We saw some glimmers of it at the end of last season and in the postseason, where they did show a physical element to their game that surprised me. I was happy about it. Mm-hmm. And Titus, I think, was a guy that could have gone either way in terms of just how is he going to finish out his career and what kind of a football player do you want to be. I think what I hope is I think he's really realized, wow, at guard – I can kind of be a pipe swinging badass. You know, I've got the size and the athleticism by guard standards, he's a really impressive athlete. Yeah. By offensive tackle standards, he's like, all right, okay. But at guard, he could potentially do some really special things.
Well, I think too, Titus got his contract a couple years ago, making $18 million a year. He got paid as an above-average tackle. If he looks at the landscape and says, hey, look, if I can be what you just described, Seth, at guard, I'm not saying he's Trey Smith. I'm not saying he's going to be Trey Smith. But Trey Smith just got $23 million a year to play guard. The guard market is pretty damn good, too, if you're an above-average guard. And Titus will be approaching 30 at that point, so that might be a better spot for him. Hey, Ben, let's skip down because I want to make sure we get to these in this segment because a lot of talk about the new scheme this year with Nick Caley, Cole Popovich, the coach in that room right now. I want to make sure we get to both of these. This was Titus Howard on the new scheme and the new mindset this year for the offensive line.
The scheme is a lot more simple. I was in this scheme a little bit when I first came into the league, but it's really just I think the biggest thing with Nick and Cole is the mindset. Like, you know, our mindset last year wasn't like it is this year. Like, our mindset now is we got to get downhill. We got to get on guys early and move them. And that's something that we struggle with on the offensive line of the pass, is getting the run game going. Because you get the run game going, the pass game going to get going. You know, so we got to be able to establish that run early. And they just been attacking the details of the run game and getting double teams a lot. We're going to be doing a lot of double teams. So we're just working on those fundamentals every day and trying to get better.
I think for people who are skeptical of having the assistant offensive line coach become the offensive line coach and they ask, like, well, okay, why would you do that? The guy was in the room last year and you had all these issues. I really can't stress it enough. An assistant offensive line coach has very little power or control over the way things are going to operate in a room. And if the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach aren't wired the same way you are, you can only do so much. Yep. So I 100% am cool with it. I've seen situations. I was in situations in the NFL where I think the assistant offensive line coach was smarter and better than the offensive line coach, mm-hmm. but he couldn't do anything about it, you know, and eventually – both those guys that I'm thinking of, I don't want to throw the actual O-line coaches under the bus. Those guys would go on to have good careers as offensive line coaches later on. Yep. So I'm very open to it. A lot of it with Nick Caley and his influence on it, he feels more blue-collar in a very, very good way. That he is all about old-school physical football and the dividends that can pay in the passing game. I know people get tired of, or people like try to, they love to act like they're intellectuals by saying, oh, establish the run is just old, stupid caveman thinking. And it's because they don't understand the actual way football works on the ground level and how it affects linebackers, how it affects safeties when you have a really good rushing attack. Yeah, it does. Establishing the run does help out the passing game. And you're an idiot if you think it doesn't.
Yeah.
You can point to all the stats and you're interpreting them wrong. Like, it just flat out matters when you do it the right way, because it's intertwined. It absolutely screws up linebackers. It screws up safeties. It screws up the pass rush if you do it right. And I think that's how these guys are wired to coach the game.
The 11-on-11 sessions that they've done five total over 2 days. They've been heavier skewed toward run for sure in terms of what they're running out there in 11-on-11 offensively. Yeah. I can tell you, too, that each day they have what's called a group install period. It's 10 minutes, and they're just walking through things. By my count, maybe I missed it, It's a 10-minute session each day. They're able to get in probably a dozen to 15 plays that they're just, again, they're just walking through. One pass each day. Like, everything they're doing in the install is all run game right now.
You know what it is, Sean, too? It's, I think this is where people make the mistake sometimes. It's that you don't, from team to team, yes, there are teams where they don't have to establish the run because that's just not the way their scheme is styled. But if you are a scheme that is dependent on play action and everything else, or especially if you want to close games out in the fourth quarter, if that's your preferred methodology, it's very, very effective. So Bobby Slowick had a preferred methodology where they should have been establishing the run, but he had no idea how to actually execute it or get it done.
Yep.
So this is, again, you're going to a new offensive coordinator who's got some of the same mindset of Bobby Slowick. It's going to do it in different ways. But crucially, if you're going to run that type of offense, then you damn well better establish the run.
All right, last one here for this segment. We'll do headlines in the next segment, but we've talked a lot about the coaching of the offensive line in this segment. Cole Popovich, at least in terms of the Q&A after practice, there have been more Cole Popovich questions in the first 2 days of training camp than there were Chris Strauser questions in 2 years of training camp. Understandably so, given the performance of the offensive line last year. Here's Titus Howard on his new O-line coach.
I say the number one thing is it's just more demanding. I say we let some stuff get by last year that wasn't good enough, but one thing about Cole, he's demanding and he's going to treat everybody and coach everybody the same way. And I think that's one of the biggest things in having a great offensive line coach. And I just know that his mentality rubs off on us every day because he's not going to settle for less.
Seth, you know that I love to play the let's construe this answer how I want to construe it game.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a professional at that.
Yes.
That's one that makes it kind of easy. Clearly, the Chris Strauser feels like a substitute teacher or something last
He's
year.
He's making a direct comparison.
Absolutely.
To what it was like last year. And look, this is – you think about it. It's funny because, you know, football coaches will look at players and basically usually feel like, all right, if the guy has one foot in, one foot out, and he's not even sure if he wants to play anymore, that's probably – not the guy for us. There's exceptions, obviously. But if somebody's not 100% all in, then it's hard to get the best out of them. And then you have these stories last year about how Chris Strauser was contemplating retirement, but then decided. I don't know if the Texans talked him into coming back. If they did, why? Why? Because, okay, it makes sense. This is a guy who was contemplating retirement, thinking about walking away and being done with it, but he just shows back up to a job where you got to work 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
That's a big difference right there, man.
And that line played like a line that was playing for a guy who might not have had both feet in. You know, it was reflective in the product on the field. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
Like he was quiet quitting or something.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Day 3, Texans training camp. We've got you covered. We'll have that in headlines. We'll hear more from D'Amico Ryans in headlines as well. Astros lose last night. A big transaction in the NFL yesterday that makes me really glad I'm not the GM of the Houston Texans, because I would have made a bad decision a couple of years ago. We'll have that for you coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games. And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, let's do it. Texans training camp. We are live, day three, and we've been talking some O-line. We heard Titus Howard a little bit earlier talking about Cole Popovich. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about the Texans' new O-line coach. How's things going so far this training camp, Coach?
Cole has done a great job of leading, I say, he's been leading with intent. He's been leading with intensity as well. Like, it's the drill work. He's definitely on it. Like, it all starts there for me with O-line. It's about basic fundamentals and being consistent. And Cole has done that. He's been consistent with his communication with the guys. He knows how to be intense when he needs to be intense, and he knows how to love the guys up when they need to be loved up. So he's done a great job of coaching those guys.
I think it boils down, we've talked a lot of O-line this morning already, but it's one of the biggest topics on this team. I think, Seth, just at its core, this is a group that just needed a kick in the ass more than
anything. Yeah, the old, good old kick in the keister.
That's
or the rump,
it, man.
Or anything an old football coach would say.
Yes, the fanny. And
keister,
fanny.
Rump, yeah, get your fannies moving.
That's right.
That's what they needed. And they needed a little bit of – this is – it's going to be a fun team and a good team if it works out and it's an improvement. I think that it appeals to a lot of the grittier elements of a football fan. This is the kind of stuff you love to hear about. Last year, I remember during training camp last year, I started to get a little bit nervous when they were talking a lot on the offensive side of the ball about, like, yeah, hey, we already know this offense, so now we can do that, the more advanced stuff.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous because every single great offensive coach that you know, Andy Reid will say this, talks about how you have to start off from square one every single year. Hey, you just won the Super Bowl. Great. You know what?
Yeah.
You are not a good football team yet during training camp.
Right.
And that's why I'm glad it's all talk at this point, but we've heard that on both the offensive and the defensive side of the ball this year. But especially it matters on the defensive side of the ball because there'd be a tendency to think, oh, yeah, look at what we did last year, and now it's just as easy. We're just going to build on that. Every player and coach on the defensive side of the ball has said, like, we know that it's not just wash, rinse, repeat, that you gotta just build from the ground up again and figure out what team you're going to be this year.
Yep. So, O-line, a big topic out here, day three. Now, I will say this, couple of things. It is raining out here today, so I don't know if it's going to turn into – it's a light drizzle. D'Amico's not afraid to practice in the rain. We know that. But this is supposed to be a day of fairly light work for the team today.
It's supposed to be light work. No. This is – Sean, it is big, bigger than it should be. Because remember what happened last year? The offense was struggling most of training camp. But if there was any kind of precipitation whatsoever, including one of those days in Ohio, it might not even have been actually raining. It was like a misting or whatever.
Yeah.
They were awful. They couldn't do anything if there was any kind of precipitation whatsoever.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think a light drizzle let me see. Can they actually throw and catch the football in a light drizzle?
Good point. I'm here for it. So there's that. Also, and I don't know if this had been publicly out there, like as far as how the schedule lays out, but Nick Caserio said on Texans training camp live yesterday with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer that the first padded practice is going to be Monday. So they're going to practice today. They'll practice tomorrow. That'll be the first practice that fans will be able to see on Saturday morning. If you're a fan looking to come out and see padded practices, it looks like you'll have to be part of the Monday crew. So that's kind of how things lay out. Nick even made the comment, Seth, of the gist of his comment was training camp doesn't really even begin until Monday when the pads go on.
It's so different. And this isn't me being a crusty old man talking about how much tougher it was back in the day. I think it's smart. The way football training camp was done in the past was just dumb. It was really stupid. It was just too much like actual physical pounding for weeks after week after week before the actual real stuff began. But it is not what it used to be. Most people listening right now that played high school football, you had a tougher physical ordeal in your high school training. Your two-a-days, your three-a-days, especially in Texas, where it's like as hard as it is in a lot of places, Texas is just probably everybody's trying to reenact the Junction Boys.
Yeah.
It's not the physical challenge it once was, other than the level of competition. Everything, you know, makes it tough, but it's not a physical challenge the way it used to be.
Astros lose last night to the A's 5-2, first of a four-game set. So that sweep in Arizona flushed quickly. They lose to the now. This Jason Alexander got called up to start the game, gave up 11 hits in six innings. Like this. This is what normal looks like when you're calling a guy up to start a game from just drive up 59 and start a game for us tomorrow? That's kind of – the Colton Gordon and Brandon Walter thing has been a complete outlier for what guys getting called up that aren't supposed to be here, what that's supposed to look like. So that was so they lose last night. Seattle wins and Toronto wins. So they're now the Astros, who were briefly tied for first place in the American League for one day. They're now a game back. They're a half game up on the Tigers. They're five games up on the Mariners in the division. I think the bigger stories last night, probably for the Astros, Seth, is not the A's game, but it's Christian Javier with another rehab start, this time in Sugar Land. He and Jacob Melton both with rehab games last night. Melton, the outfielder, he's been out for over a month now with an ankle sprain. But the big one is Javier, who's 14 months removed from Tommy John, and he got up to 95 again on the gun last night. Through 49 pitches, 30 for strikes, so his pitch count is starting to amp back up a little bit here. And they've got three guys, their entire series in Corpus this weekend, the Astros, their double-A affiliate, all IL guys making rehab starts. It's Eric Geddy, it's Garcia, and it's J.P. France, all starting the games in Corpus this weekend.
If the Astros organization does one thing, it's they take care of the affiliates by way of just having so many injuries. I can hear everyone.
Think it's just us, Seth.
Yeah. Okay. I can hear everything. What's going on? Am I on air?
It's just you and me, Seth.
Okay.
Sean appears to be gone.
Are we on air?
Yes.
Oh, hey, we're on air. Woo! Look, okay. So it's 6:50 in the morning. Sean is gesticulating wildly and still doing the show without any of us knowing exactly what's going on. Ben, don't worry. I'm not gonna make you talk about Hulk Hogan, who passed away yesterday. That was next up in the news. Also, Christian Wilkins cut by the Raiders for apparently not handling his rehab the way that he was supposed to be handling the rehab. I wish you guys could watch on the YouTube stream so you could see Sean continuing on with the show the way he has. Hey, Ben, is it possible for you to pull up the Titus Howard 5 audio that we had in the previous segment?
Absolutely, I've got it.
Okay, let's do that. So Titus Howard spoke to the media yesterday. Sean and I spoke about it previously as we try to fix his technical difficulties, and it feels like a renewed Titus Howard. You can't tell too much about the offensive line when there's no pads on, but there's going to be an emphasis on versatility, which is something that I used to be opposed to because it felt like every time you try to move offensive line been around all the time, guys obviously aren't going to perform as well as in their chosen position. But it's a different world, and because of injuries and whatnot these days, you got to expect your offensive lineman to be versatile. Titus Howard's had to be that guy before. Arriante Ursary, the rookie, has played both left and right. Titus had some words of advice for Arriante Ursary.
I tell him the main thing is just the mental part first. Getting in the playbook and learning how to be able to switch each play, flip it backwards. So, because that's the biggest part, getting up there. If you know what you got to do, the rest going to take care of itself. He's more than athletic enough to play left tackle and right tackle. It's just getting up there and knowing what he got to do right away so he's not thinking so much. And I think he's been doing a fantastic job on it. He's having a tremendous camp so far, and he's only going to get better. I feel like he's a guy that likes to learn from the older guys and the coaches and try to apply that to practice. And I'm just excited to be his teammate.
The best analogy I've ever heard about the difficulty of going from the left side to the right side or vice versa as an offensive lineman is go ahead and try to wipe with your other hand this morning and see how that goes. It's going to take some practice. So I'll leave you with that as hopefully we get Sean back after the break. Okay. Hey, we got Sean.
How you
Sean,
doing?
I was just taking him into break.
Somebody unplugged. You know that scene in Airplane where
somebody unplugged the.
Yeah, you know the scene in Airplane where the plane's coming in and all the lights are there on the runway and then they go out and then there's that guy standing there holding the plug. I don't think it was intentional like that was an Airplane, but that's exactly what happened. Somebody unplugged us. Not their fault. They didn't know, I guess. But
why
did
he think that this, something should be unplugged?
Well, our power runs way down the wall to where the extension cord plugs in next to like the Jumbotron out here, and they were just they didn't know what they were doing. If they had known that we were connected to it, they wouldn't have done it. It was an accident.
Mike Meltzer did that to SiriusXM one when we were in West Virginia for training camp.
I
we were packing
well.
Up at the end of our show, and Mike just completely unplugged the Sirius. He shut down SiriusXM NFL station for
If I know anything, Seth,
minutes.
About this business, it's that the higher up you go in terms of like the profile of shows like local, national, satellite – the higher up you go, the easier and better they handle those things. Up, you know,
it was
I'm
awesome.
Sure it was just. I'm sure it was just. Oh, that's no problem at all.
Yeah. They got howdy about it, but I shut them up right quick.
Sure
they thought there
did.
Was going to be a bullying situation for a moment. I told them to sit their asses down.
Yeah. I love that. All right, so I'm back now. We got plugged back in. Matt, do these guys know not to unplug us the next few days? All right, good. All right, good. All right, let's get to the 7 o'clock hour here. And let's hear from Aziz Alshire. This was great yesterday. This is something – Aziz Alshire said something that you can tell this is a D'Amico Ryans kind of guy, just in terms of working on his game. One of the unique things he did to work on his game, and Aziz's description of one of his teammates is fantastic. We will get to that. We got a long segment coming up. Payne and Pendergast with you live, I promise, from Texans training camp.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus. You must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.